Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a vibrant, living, loving, daily walk with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's what Christianity is, true Christianity. Without that relationship, Christianity is powerless.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Well, if you have a Bible, you came to the right church. Why don't you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. This book is supernatural. It's powerful. If you will renew your mind in this book, if you will put God's words in your heart, it will change your belief system. We live the way we live because of what we believe. If we want a better life, we need a better belief system. And Christ said, according to your faith, be it unto you, according to where you place your confidence. He also said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people, not lost people, my people. And so it's so important that we base our mind around this book. Let me tell you, wherever there's tyranny and gross darkness, this book is hated. I'm just telling you. I've been to North Korea. If you have this book in your possession in North Korea, it's likely that you'll be executed. If you won't be executed, your family, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, mother, father, cousins, anybody associated with your family will be placed in an internment camp for an indefinite amount of time, potentially for years, in a slave labor camp. That's how much they hate and fear this book. Why do they hate this book? Because this book brings freedom. Where there's tyranny, this book will always be hated because this book brings freedom. Amen. Amen? I think it's just important that we remember every once in a while and that we don't. Familiarity breeds contempt. You know that? You get accustomed to something. People pay a great price for owning these scriptures around the world. In China, if you give a Bible to a Chinese believer, they will weep uncontrollably. And they'll cut every page out of the Bible and they'll begin to circulate them amongst the underground church. And those people then write those pages down until eventually they've written their own Bibles. That's how powerful this book is. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three in the NLT, two or three gather together as my followers, I am there with them. Two or three. We're talking about relationships today. We're going to talk about relationships as a pastor. There are certain topics I'm going to revisit periodically all of my life as a pastor. The Word of God, the importance of prayer, understanding giving and the purpose of wealth. All these things are very important. Relationships, marriage relationships. All these things we cover on a regular basis because God is above all things relational. You need to understand that. Anthony Marquis, how many people enjoyed Pastor Anthony when he was here? God spoke to him one time and just said, He said, son, if what you're doing is not relational, I'm not in it and I'm not interested in it. And I believe he heard from the voice of God on that. As a young believer, I was praying. I was coming to church on a Thursday night, Reserve, Louisiana, about 30 years ago. And as I was pulling in, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, if my people will just love the people that I send in here and keep them in my presence long enough, my presence and my spirit will change them. And I believe that with all my heart. In his presence, the mountains melt like wax. In his presence, we are changed. So relationships are huge. All of your relationships will never be any better than your best relationship. If you have a bad marriage, it'll affect every relationship you have. If you have no relationship with God, it will affect every relationship you have. If you have bad relationships with people close to you, that's why it's so important that we understand relationships. Who you hang around with will determine your destiny. I said, who you hang around with will determine your destiny. Not everybody who's in your life should be in your life. Not everybody who's a part of your past is a part of your future. In fact, as you move on in the Lord, pursuing the Lord, you'll find that fewer and fewer friends are with you that used to be with you before. And it's not that you've rejected them or they've rejected you. It's just they're not going the same place you're going. They're going somewhere else. And so you need to journey. An African proverb says, if you want to go fast, travel alone. If you want to go far, bring people. Relationships are the key to a healthy life. You know, as I'm studying, and I try to study constantly, and I'm studying a lot about addiction. I've studied the brain chemistry of it. I've studied the history of it. I've studied the pharmacology side of it. And there is empirical data that most people can be free from almost any addiction if they can improve the quality of their human connection. It's empirical data. It's not my opinion. It's what people who don't even know who God is have taken the time to study, people who are addicted and people who become free from addiction, and they all have this thing in common, the quality of their connections and their human relationship. We were created by a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in His image. We are a triune being. We are a spirit who lives in a body and has a soul. We're a triune being, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So we're triune, we're created in His image. We were created by a relationship, Father and Son, Holy Spirit, in relationship, for relationship. The name of my sermon today is Relationships. No shocker, part one. So we really want to zero in on relationship. Again, your best relationship will bleed into all your other relationships. So the first relationship any man or woman needs to work on is their relationship with their Heavenly Father. If you can get this right, think of the cross. If you can get it right this way, then it'll get right this way. If it's not right this way, it'll never be right this way. And by the way, if it's not right this way, it really affects your ability to go this way. Jesus said, wait a minute, you're telling me you love a God you haven't seen, but you're struggling loving old knucklehead over there that you live with for 30 years? Where's the continuity in that? So relationships are big. Matthew 16:18 says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. He then asked him, okay, that's fine. I'll throw that fine part in there. But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now obviously he was talking about Peter, the guy, but if you remember Peter gives me hope. When I read about Peter's life, Peter gives me hope. Cut Malchus's ear off, jumped out of the boat, then went underwater. I like Peter. I like because it, a little bit of his passion and his impulsiveness. And it was fun, if you read the scriptures, to watch Peter mature over the years and how it affected his life. Peter, who was preaching a message of grace, but then wouldn't hang around with Gentiles when some of the Jewish leaders showed up because of fear of man. That's Peter. But who did God use to preach on the first revival, Holy Ghost, Pentecostal message on the day of Pentecost but Peter? The guy who denied him three times only a couple of days before, and Peter preaches this. Now, as a pastor, I wouldn't put a guy who just denied Christ 3 days earlier in the pulpit. I would never do that. I still wouldn't do that, I'll be honest with you. But Jesus said, look, I know this guy. Sometimes it's when you come in touch with your weaknesses and you come back to Christ, knowledgeable of your weaknesses and leaning on Him, that He can use you the most. That's why I said your weaknesses become your greatest strengths. Amen? So I think he did do that about Peter, but I think more importantly what he's talking about here is the revelation that Peter had of Jesus' relationship to the Father. He was the Son of God, but also the Son of Man. until you get this relationship right with Jesus, that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. He's either who he said he was or he isn't. He wasn't just a great prophet. He wasn't just a good man. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no woman, no child comes to the Father except by me. Now listen, if this building caught on fire and there were three exits, but I stood by this exit over here and I said, I'm the only way to life, knowing I would probably kill half these people over here, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a son of God, I'm an egotistical maniac. Jesus was either who he said he was or he wasn't. Amen? I have good news for you. He's who he said he was. I know that because when I got saved in my living room in Belle Point, Louisiana, I was not looking for Jesus Christ. I would have rubbed Buddha's fat belly if he could have set me free. But I was an alcoholic who'd lost my wife and daughter, my relationships because of being an alcoholic. I was schizophrenic. I was mentally tormented. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I had a horrible life. And I met Jesus in my living room. I didn't know who it was, but God came into my living room and revealed himself to me over time to be Jesus Christ. I didn't learn it in a church. I didn't learn it in a listening to Mr. Wonderful on television, sending him my rent payments. I learned it from the Holy Spirit. No man taught me. God gave me that revelation. And you know what? Every one of us have to receive that revelation from God the same way. You don't have to be drunk sitting in your living room in Belle Point. I would advise against that for several reasons. Belle Point's not a good neighborhood anymore. The drinking is bad. But we all need that revelation from the Holy Spirit about who God is. The Father is above all things relationship. How many people know that in heaven there was perfect order? There is perfect order. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no anger. There's no fear. There's no lust. There's no mental torment. There's no anguish. There's no jealousy. There's no betrayal. It's a wonderful place, heaven. It's how God originally intended for us to live. And we can even enjoy a piece of heaven on lugar celestial, as the Spanish song says. We can enjoy a piece of heaven here on earth when we invite Christ into our heart. How many people say, praise the Lord? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So God didn't come down here because it wasn't good enough in heaven. Imagine if you're in heaven and you look down here and there's betrayal, there's anger, there's jealousy, there's lust, there's rape, there's pedophilia, there's murder, there's mental torment, there's suicide, there's drug addiction. Who in the world would step down off their throne and come into a mess like that that was all started because mankind rebelled against God's plan for their life? What kind of king leaves his throne? King Jesus. King Jesus. He came down and walked among us. And what did he come down here to do? He did not come down here to restore or to create a new religion. They didn't even call it Christianity until 100 years after he was gone. He didn't come down here to start a religion. He came down here to restore a relationship. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a vibrant, living, loving, daily walk with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's what Christianity is, true Christianity. Without that relationship, Christianity is powerless. In fact, I'll go a step further. Without that relationship, Christianity is dangerous. Look around. We all have a disease called sin. We all were born in sin, Romans tells us. We were conceived in sin. The plague came into mankind through one, but by one it can leave your life through Jesus Christ. But we all have this disease of sin. We all need what Christ has to offer. We all need that relationship restored. And nothing apart from that relationship with Christ will restore a human being to the place that God designed him to be. He came down here and to form a relationship with us, that we might form a relationship with others, and that our relationship would lead men and women back to the Father. To know that there's someone who loved you and who created you. I don't care if you were born in Lincoln, Nebraska, or the backseat of a Lincoln Continental. God has purpose for your life. Your parents may have been sin damaged. There may be generational abuse and emotional neglect in your family. But I got good news for you. Your Heavenly Father changes not. He can restore the relationship with you in a moment of time based on the decisions that you make. That's good news. I said, that's good news. All of heaven in its perfection, he was ready to walk away from so that we might have a relationship with him. God has called us to bring his kingdom. Amen? Jesus didn't preach the gospel of born again. He didn't. Born again, we hear that a lot. Can a man or woman be born again? Absolutely. The Bible tells us unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. He's got to be born of the water, speaking of the breaking of water prior to birth. And he's got to be born of the Spirit, speaking of the encounter with the Holy Spirit. Our spirit man is dead because of sin. Because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, his atonement, he has justified us. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified by faith through grace in the blood of Christ. Justified by faith through faith by grace in the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I am free now to pursue relationship with the Father without performance. I was talking to a gentleman here in the back, and I said, you know, as soon as you know who you are in Christ and you know that he's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness, the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ when you accept Christ into your heart and you make him the Lord of your life. No lordship, no freedom, but if you make him the Lord of your life, then you have these things, and you're free to pursue perfection and not performance. Religion has to constantly dress up the outside of the box, and it likes to compare itself to other people to feel better about itself. But when you really have placed that alpha relationship, relationship zero is Jesus. If he's happy with it, I have a little decision matrix. When I'm doing something, I'm praying about doing something, the first thing I want to know is how does Jesus feel about it? The second thing I want to know is how does Paula feel about it? And then I want to know how my family feels about it. Then I want to know how my elders and deacons feel about it. And then I want to know how the congregation. I have an order of things, and Jesus is preeminent. And this is what I've found. When I submit my life to Christ, everything I do with his blessing is blessed. And it not only blesses me, but it blesses other people. You were blessed to be a blessing. We're called to bring the kingdom to God. But here's the thing. This is why relationships are important. God hides his kingdom behind relationship. Somebody who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus will not reproduce the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called the gospel of the kingdom. Born again, important. But it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that the kingdom has come unto earth, that God has wrapped himself in human flesh in the form of Jesus. And so he says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So he wants us to bring this kingdom. His purpose has never changed. What did he tell Abraham? I will make of you a great nation, and you will be a what? Blessing to all the families of the earth. Say all the families. All the families. Everybody. There's no racism in heaven. Jesus said this in Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted from heaven. And from this statement, we can draw two immediate conclusions. One, the kingdom of God is hidden behind multiple locked doors. And two, it is necessary to operate in those kingdom keys given to us by Jesus to enter into and to walk into the kingdom promises. The Bible is full of promises. If you're not living those promises in your life, then I encourage you to ask God, what is the key for me to open the door to prosperity in my life? What is the key to open the door for better relationships in my life, for more faith, to be trusting, to be loving, to be compassionate toward other people? I have to ask God constantly, make me compassionate towards other people. We all have this sickness called self-focus. It came in at the curse of sin, and we have to daily take up our cross and deny ourselves. Not deny who we are, deny our selfish nature. I don't think less of myself. In fact, I'm one of the favorite people I know. And don't tell Jesus I told you, but I'm his favorite. Yeah, I know he tells everybody that, but don't disrupt me. I'm feeling good about myself. Thank you, Jesus. These keys or these principles are necessary to have relationships. Jesus wasn't making us a lone ranger. He said, listen, I want to give you honor. He wants to honor us. What comes before honor? What does the Bible say? What comes before honor? Humility. Absolutely right. Before honor comes humility. Before destruction comes pride and haughtiness. So you want to walk in the kingdom? Humble yourself. You want your relationships? Let me just help you out. You want your relationships to get better, every stinking one of them? Learn to take the low road. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room. Don't elbow your husband right now. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You don't have to be the best looking. I accepted that years ago. I have the face for radio. I'm just moving on anyway. I'm going to try to do something. A broke crayon can color. Just take the low road. Esteem others, the Bible said, higher than yourself. Serve other people. Are you struggling with depression? The greatest antidepressant in the world, and by the way, there's empirical data for this, is to do something that gets you off of yourself, get your mind off yourself. You know, we enter into certain behaviors as a result of certain environmental stimuli, whether it be trauma or abandonment, whether it be abuse, whether it be rape, whatever it be. And our body, as our brain closes in and puts distance between us and other people as a protective measure while we try to learn to process through what happened to our life. But if we don't get some outside stimulus, if we don't have friends to help us walk through these things, we get stuck. And the data is there. Scientifically, your brain gets stuck in these strongholds of the way it thinks and the way it believes. And so when you're able to get out of that, you're able to break that pattern and begin to help other people, new pathways begin to form in your brain. And your brain will naturally produce serotonin when you do acts of charity and kindness to other people. And not only will you gain from it, but the people around you who see it will also receive those same chemicals into their brains. It's what gives us community. It's the way God designed us to be in relationship. We have this thing now called Facebook. I have 1,000 friends on Facebook. Baloney. I don't have 1,000 friends on Facebook. When we moved, I invited everybody on Facebook to come help me move. 1,000 people did not show up. Your friends are people who will help you move or hide a body. People on Facebook, let me tell you what. If all it takes to be my friend is this, click, click, you're not my friend. Because I'll make you mad one day and you go, click, click, and I won't be your friend anymore. Oh, well. Oh, well. There's a greater increase in isolation now because people are having relationships, virtual relationships. But the empirical data on this shows that the more time a person spends on Facebook and other social media who struggle with depression, the deeper their depression becomes. Because I know you guys, you see. I know what's going on in your lives, most of you. And so I see your Facebook posts where it looks like everything is just rainbows and unicorn and bacon and everybody's just having a great time. But I also know what's going on in your life. And so when you're struggling and you look on Facebook and everybody is showing you the perfect meal and the perfect dog and they're on the perfect diet and they have the perfect house, the perfect car, and they just went to the perfect movie, and you think, well, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Let me help you. They're not perfect either. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Relationships. To walk in a relationship. How many people have been married more than 15 minutes? Okay, there's a reason why you're not divorced or in the penitentiary. Because you've been working on your relationship skills. You heard about that guy who was crying. He said, what's the matter? He said, I got married 20 years ago. If I would have killed her, I'd be getting out of prison right now. How many people know that's not what God designed marriage to be? He designed marriage to be an eternal covenant. Christianity is best practice at home before it's exported. If you can't serve your wife, don't ask to serve in the church. If you can't serve your kids, you don't want to date your kids, you don't want to go to dinner with your kids, take them out and spend time with them, don't ask to come take me out. I'm not going to take your, if you got time to go out and you got a couple nickels, and by the way, if you don't have enough to tip, you don't have enough to go out. Amen. You're a testimony everywhere you go, one way or the other. I had a friend who used to always tip a quarter and leave a track. I said, I'll give you $100 if you'll stop leaving tracks. Because you're a terrible witness for Christ. Help us, Jesus. To walk in relationship consistently, you have to learn how to say, I'm sorry. You have to learn to walk in humility. You have to learn, you have to be 1 Corinthians 13. You're patient, you're kind, you're long-suffering. You get it that you didn't get where you are overnight, and neither is the person next to you. It takes time for wounds to heal. It takes time. Everybody's garden's not the same. You may have a little Miracle-Gro going on in your life. Just love somebody because they don't have that. You don't know what they went through. You don't know what kind of generational momentum is coming behind them in form of demonic curses and family life and all that junk. Just, if you're having a good day, just praise the Lord. And try to help somebody else have a good day. Try to do something for somebody else. You've got to learn to be sacrificial. You've got to learn to be a giver. You've got to learn to be a real lover, unconditional lover of people. That takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to do that, especially in traffic. In traffic, there's a me inside of me that I have to keep him locked up, extra seat belts. If he gets out in traffic, he's a dangerous thing. I had a Jesus bumper sticker on my back of my car. God said, look, either change your driving or change your bumper sticker. That was a long time ago. Now I'm perfect in traffic. Huh, babe? She didn't say a word. Good thing. She don't let me lie in church anymore. I better quit. Thank you, Father. Matthew 18:20, two or more are gathered. I'll never understand why people forsake the assembling together as the Bible commands us to do, because we confess our sins to Jesus to be saved. How many people know I met Jesus in my living room? Anybody can meet Jesus anywhere. Right now in the Middle East, thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ and prophetic dreams and visitations from Christ. You can meet Christ anywhere. But if you do meet him, the first subject, if he's Lord of your life, you're going to begin to obey. Do you love me? He said, keep my commandments. And one of those is that we gather together. Now, I get it. On the sheep's highway, there's a lot of sheep. And anybody ever live on a farm where there's a lot of sheep? Sometimes you got to watch your step. But that's okay. Jesus didn't say your job is to keep your shoes clean. And probably that person in your life that aggravates you the most is sent there by God to bring you to the keys of the kingdom. Isn't that right, Cody? Amen. Ask Cody to share his testimony with you sometime about how Christ wants you to deal with people in your life who are aggravating you. Our potential in the earth increases dramatically when we network with other believers. I believe we're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. The Bible's clear about that. We're not going to be judged for our sins. Our sin issue was dealt with once and for all on the cross when we accepted Christ. We confess our sins to Christ to be saved. But the Bible tells us we confess our weaknesses one another to be healed. It also says one will set 1,000 to flight. How can one set 1,000 to flight or two set 10,000 to flight if the Lord was not with them? You see, it's a nonlinear equation. 1 + 1 equals more than 2 in the kingdom. And that's why he said where 2 or 3 agree, the power of agreement. When we come together, we have a vision to touch the Whitney community. Guess what? When we come together, at led of Christ to do so, in Rhema revelation, and we decide we're going to do something, and we begin to move forward, we'll certainly have resistance, but if we do not stop, we will have success. We will have victory. We will impact our community for Christ in Jesus' name, because he commanded us to do it, and where he guides, he provides. Amen. In Jesus' name. If we really, when we stand before the great white throne of judgment, we're going to give an account for what we've done with what God gave us. That's what it is. And Jesus says, and sometimes he said there's going to be a great fire, a bonfire of things that were wood, hay, and stubble, things that we did for God, but that God never told us to do. Pastors who should have been lawyers, and lawyers who should have been pastors, and people who didn't go to the mind of the Creator to find out the purpose for their life are going to be very surprised when they meet Jesus. And listen, I'm not, we're not doing this to make God love us. He loved us enough to die for us. Settle that issue. Jesus said, I'm the doorway to the kingdom. Let's not hang on to the door for fear of Jesus changing his mind. Let's take him at his word and march into the kingdom and inherit the promises of God and be a witness and a testimony to Christ in the earth like he commanded us to be. Amen? That's what it's all about. I said, that's what it's all about. Us bringing people back to the Father. Us bringing people back to Jesus. We broken people who allow Christ to strengthen us and then taking that strength that he gives us and sharing it with others. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I don't think we're just going to, at the great white throne, I don't think it's just going to be, well, okay, Doug, you did this and this was good. I could be talking to Doug here. We don't know. Or Doug, you did this, but that's great, but that's not what I asked you to do. What about the things I wanted you to do? How many people have kids? How many people, your kids are with you? Okay. Good. You're the only one close I can pick on. So if your dad tells you to cut the grass and you wash the car, that's a good thing, washing the car, isn't it? Yeah, but what about the grass? What if he wanted you to cut the grass instead? See what I'm saying? I know you would wash the car and cut the grass. Cut the grass first so the grass doesn't get on the car. Okay, anyway. I don't think it's just going to be what I've done and the quality of what I've done or haven't done. I think it's going to be what I could have done had I taken the time to know Rico and Katie. Had I taken the time to know Denny and Lynn Lotto. Had I taken the time to get to know the Veranics. Had I taken the time to get to know my brothers and sisters in the church. And together, what could we have done had we been willing to lay down our life to find a better life? Jesus put it this way. He said, if you lose your life, if you find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for me, you'll find it. Amen. He's not talking about killing yourself for Jesus. He's not talking about doing penance. There is no penance. Christ paid on the cross. I can't add anything to the blood of Jesus to make it more effective. What I can do is out of love and gratitude, I can obey him. And I can obey what his word tells me to do. I can lay down my life for the higher life. I can choose to make choices. You know, we're always afraid somehow that if we begin to obey God every day, somehow our life will decrease. Well, I'll be honest with you. You may not be able to binge watch every TV show you want to watch if you become a follower of Christ. But you may be able to go and bring a whole new existence in eternity to a neighbor. He might not let you go to Disney World one year. He might tell you to go on a missions trip instead. We did that. I went to Disney World. I called back down there a couple days later. Hey, you remember me and my wife? Nobody remembered me at Disney World. But I went on a missions trip. To Russia. And to this day, there are children named after us. I didn't ask them. There are pictures of us on their family and on their coffee tables. Because they'll never forget us. And listen, it's not that we're that memorable. You understand that, right? But it's who came with us when we went. You are the carriage that carries the King. The Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory for all mankind. Why go somewhere where they won't remember you for 15 minutes? And why not go somewhere where they'll remember you forever? I'm going to shut it down right here. I've got a couple of things. I'll carry them in next week. You know, does that mean every relationship is good? No, it doesn't. The Bible's clear about that. Not every relationship in your life is healthy. How far do you go with trying to have a relationship or make peace with someone? These are difficult questions. You know you want to go the extra mile, but at some point, free will kicks in and God has some direction for us there. We're going to talk about that next week. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? What does it mean to be in a healthy relationship or an unhealthy relationship? And then does separation from the world mean isolation from the world? Should we move off the electrical grid and drive buggies? What should we do that we are not of this world, that we can be of the heavenly kingdom? I'll give you a hint. Isolation is not separation. I can be amongst, Jesus was a friend of sinners. He drank with publicans. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. The The more I got into Christ, the more I noticed that I would come to church and I would already be meditating on what the pastor was preaching on. God would already be speaking to me. I'd look at what I'd written in my morning devotional, and almost all those scriptures would be the scriptures my pastor was preaching from. And what that did, that encouraged me, gave me great confidence in the Holy Spirit. Great confidence. I traveled a lot. I was a biomedical engineer working for medical companies, and I traveled a lot, and I would go visit another church when I was on the road. I had to go to Miami for classes a lot, and I would find a local church, and I would visit, and I would see the Holy Spirit speaking the same thing to my brothers and sisters in Florida that he was speaking to me in New Orleans. And I was greatly encouraged. You are part of something much greater than yourself, the body of Christ, the most amazing relationship and organism in the planet. In Jesus' name. If you've got relationships that you want help with, I'm not going to ask you. You can come up here if you want. I'm not going to do an altar call per se. But if you've got relationships you want help with, just lift your hands right now and let's just ask the Lord. Your relationships change every 5 years in dynamics. We need to constantly be pursuing and improving our relationships, especially with our spouses. Amen. So, Father, we're just asking you right now. We're saying, Holy Spirit, come. Touch us right now, Lord. Touch our hearts. Give us revelation of what we need to do to be better husbands, better wives, better sisters, brothers, better employees, better physicians, better boilers, better carpenters. God, that we might bring excellence and glory to your name in the earth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you and your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church. Thank you.